الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيد المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وما خلقت الجن والإنس إلا ليعبدون. صدق الله العظيم. Alhamdulillah, it is the kindness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He has granted us life. And He has afforded us with another opportunity to witness another Ramadan in our lives. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it such that we value every golden moment and opportunity in this Mubarak month of Ramadan. Nevertheless, this month of Ramadan is a month where the Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has mentioned أَوَّلُهُ رَحْمَةٌ وَأَوْسَطُهُ مَغْفِرَةٌ وَآخِرَهُ عِتْقٌ مِنَ النَّارِ وكما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. That this month of Ramadan has been categorized into three sections. The first portion of this month of Ramadan, first 10 days of the month of Ramadan, are days wherein Allah Ta'ala's rahmat is descending. Allah Ta'ala's special rahmat is descending. And this is something which we should constantly ask Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala for. Is that, Ya Allah, allow me to be soaked and drenched in your rains of rahmat. If a person has got Allah Ta'ala's rahmat in his life, so then this person will find that his life will be easy, there will be tranquility in his life. He will get the tawfiq to do good deeds, and he will get the courage and the himmah to stay away from sins and gunah. One ayat of the Quran Sharif, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, وَلَوْلَا فَضْلُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ وَرَحْمَتُهُ مَا زَكَى مِنْكُمْ مِنْ أَحَدٍ أَبَدًا وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهِ يُزَكِّي مَنْ يَشَاءُ. That it had not been for the bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, none of you would have been able to purify and reform himself. This is addressed to Sahaba al-Kiram. If you consider the Sahaba al-Kiram, what was the condition prior to them accepting Islam, then it is absolutely amazing. Those individuals who were worse than even animals in terms of their behavior, in terms of their merciless nature, burying their daughters alive. But yet, after they accepted Islam and came to the Sahaba of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and after this rahmat of Allah Ta'ala became focused on them, then subhanAllah, complete transformation. Until they became radiyallahu anhum wa radu an. So Allah Ta'ala addresses the Sahaba al-Kiram, that had not been for the fadl of Allah and the rahmah of Allah, none of you would have been able to reform himself. وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ يُزَكِّي مَنْ يَشَاءُ. But the reality is that Allah alone is the one who purifies hearts. Allah is the one who can cause the heart to be reformed. So therefore, whenever we accomplish any good deed in our lives, then we should remember that whatever good deed we accomplish in our lives, it's only through the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the reality is that it's only Allah who can give us the himmat and courage to stay away from sins and gunah. However, this doesn't mean that anyone is forced. Now somebody will say, well, if that's the case, then I've got no choice in the matter. Allah Ta'ala is the one, whatever happens with the will of Allah. So I can't stop myself. So we have been given choice. Allah Ta'ala has given us ikhtiyar, choice. And, and, And based on whatever we decision we make and whatever we choose, that is how we will be punished. It reminds me of an incident. A person went into the orchard of another, of a farmer. So he went and he started eating the mangoes and the fruit. So the farmer realized that somebody is stealing here, it's happening quite often, so he decided that, you know, he's going to start watching, and he caught this person. So he caught the person, he asked him, what are you doing? So he said, I'm having fruit. He said, but how can you have fruit? It doesn't belong to you, you didn't ask permission. He said, but you see, everything belongs to Allah. The ground belongs to Allah. The sand belongs to Allah. The sea belongs to Allah. I belong to Allah. You belong to Allah. So we are just eating what belongs to Allah. So that person tried to give him, but he just didn't seem to understand. So he took one big stick, the owner, and he started giving a good idea. He said, why are you eating me? He said, well, you see, the hand belongs to Allah. The stick belongs to Allah. Everything belongs to Allah. So Allah has been guiding. So the thing is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us the choice. And based on whatever decision we have, whatever we choose, this is how a person will be punished or rewarded. So we have to make the effort. And we have to make the correct choices. But then we have to remember that that energy and that ability that after to go forward is only with the hand of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So therefore, one important dua that we should constantly be making in the month of Ramadan is that Allah have mercy on you. رَبِّ اغْفِرْ وَارْحَمْ وَأَنْتَ خَيْرُ الرَّاحِمِينَ. Allah, forgive my sins and have mercy on me. Let your rains of rahmat remain focused on me. Because if this rahmat of Allah Ta'ala is focused on a person, then subhanAllah. Yusuf al-Amina alayhi salatu wa salam, we have mentioned this previous programs, that when he had been able to accomplish some kind of heights in his life spiritually, and when people began acknowledging him and praising him, that subhanAllah, you were able to withstand the seduction of Zulaykha and you were totally innocent and you are so pious and whatever else they could pay praises, they could shower to him. So he said, Wama ubari'u nafsi. That I do not regard my nafs as free, because inna nafs la ammaratun bisu. The nature of nafs is that it intensely encourages and incites a person towards the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Illa ma rahima rabbi. Except that person upon whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has focused his reins of rahmah. That person whom Allah ta'ala has had mercy upon, that person will be able to stay away from sin. With regards to this now, alhamdulillah, in the month of Ramadan, shaitan has been chained. And through the barakah of fasting, we have been able to develop a little bit of the ability to restrain ourselves. Because now a person wants to eat the food, he's hungry, now normally lunchtime, you know, I don't mention the food. But normally now lunchtime, you know, this time we used to, whatever, Saturdays, Sundays, lunchtime, we have this and that, and the extra and the sideline. Now the person wants to have it, the desire is there, the thought crosses the mind, but he restrains himself. Allah is watching. My fast will break. So the month of Ramadan is training ground. This chance to train our nafs. To get this little bit of self-control. Allah is making it so easy. Everybody is fasting, so it becomes very easy. So the environment is conducive. But the month of Ramadan is the training ground. It's a little bit of that. You know, the person takes his vehicle, sends it to the mechanic, he parks it in the workshop, maybe for 1 week, overhaul the entire engine, sorts out the whole car, everything is fixed up, car is cleaned nicely. But he doesn't keep it in the showroom. The objective of repairing the vehicle wasn't to keep it in the showroom. The objective was that eventually this vehicle must come out and it has to go back on the road. It has to go back onto the highway. the shakhs have to go back on duty. So the same way, this month of Ramadan, this is the opportunity for us to remove all those dents from our hearts, spiritual hearts. Remove all those weaknesses, improve ourselves, overall our spiritual heart. So that after the month of Ramadan, we go back, and the nafs is under control. Now you say, Alhamdulillah, easy, but Allah is saying it's easy to do. You see why it's easy? Because the month of Ramadan is absolutely conducive. It's conducive for this. But now suddenly, if there's some invitation towards sin, now see what happens. The person, can't seem to, the brake line is starting to fail. Now he can't stop himself. Jalaluddin Rumi Rahmatullahi gives the example of a person into the Himalaya mountains. So there the snakes, because of the excessive cold, they go into hibernation. They're almost as if they're dead. They found one huge python. It was in hibernation, lifeless. So he took that python, wrapped it around his neck, didn't move. He came down to the village. He started showing off to everyone, see, I managed to keep this huge python under control. It's not even. But now, Jalaluddin Rumi Rahmatullah said, what happened? What happened? Everybody started, crowds started gathering to see this amazing thing. But now, because now he's not in the mountain, now the rays of the sun started shining on the body of that python. Now when the warmth started getting into the body of the python and it started to wriggle and move, the first person who started running was that same person who caught the snake. He ran for his life. Jalaluddin, father of examples, Allah Ta'ala blessed him with a deep way of trying examples and lessons of. He said that this nafs of ours, when we introduce it to a conducive environment, it goes into hibernation. The evil part of the nafs goes into hibernation. The person is in the company of his sheikh. Now all those evil desires and inclinations get under control. The month of Ramadan comes and everything seems to go into hibernation. All those evil desires and tendencies. Now to lower the gaze becomes so easy. Now to control the tongue becomes so easy. So now he thinks that his nafs has been killed. My nafs has been killed. That's why Jalaluddin Rumi Rahmatullah says, oh friend, don't ever trust your nafs. Never ever trust your nafs. Even if you become a wali of Allah Ta'ala, that nafs of yours, don't ever trust it. Because it is that snake, as soon as it gets some warmth of sins again, the Maharaj Sahib Rahmatullah says, lots of people, they gave up television, for example. So now they gave it up. Now, Shaitan, all he does is whispers. He doesn't make you commit this sin, no. He just incites, he knows nafsi is the main thing. That's why, as the Thani Ramtulai says, that some people say there's two steps to reach Allah Ta'ala. Two steps. One is Shaitan and one is your nafs. He said, lekin main ye kehta hu ke bas ek kadam hai. I say there's only one step. Put your foot on your nafs and everything is under control. Because you ask yourself the question, what made Shaitan go astray? It was his nafs. His nafs made him go astray. He said, why must I? He's made of sand. I made so much of ibadah, put my head on the sand, and now the one is made of sand. I must obey him. Nafs, you see that pride within the nafs. That came up. And so the Musa alayhi salam said, Ya Allah, what is the easiest way for me to reach you? He said, Da' nafsa wa ta'ala. Abandon your nafs and come. Just abandon your nafs and you come to Allah. So this, the greatest enemy is the enemy within ourselves, our own nafs. So he says, even if your nafs becomes the abdal, and even if you become the wali of Allah Ta'ala, never ever trust this nafs on you. Suddenly, Hazrat Mawlana says, the people give up television, and they gave them. Now what Shaitan says, just check up the newspapers, just see what's playing. What's on there? So the person opens and he goes to those, I don't even know if they have it nowadays, but those days they have a column with the newspaper or the magazines. where they show all different programs that that will be playing on their radios. So the person now watches the reads that, oh, this program is still playing on radio. I said, this one here, I wonder what's happening now in this particular series. That time this year. So what happens? Nafs now start getting the taste, the enjoyment they gave. The person who gave up drugs, so he gave it up. So somebody, just take one puff. Now when he took it, he said, just today, this. Same thing with smoking. Person gave it up, now somebody else, just give me one puff. So nafs is like that. As soon as it gets that taste and that warmth of that sin, it falls again. That is why the person has to be so strong on his nafs. And he should never, ever trust this nafs of ours, because it's waiting to bite. Waiting to bite and destroy us. In the nafs, la ammaratun bisu. The nafs wants to take a person towards guna. Allah has made it such. That is why this is our test. Allah Ta'ala brags to the malaika, because the angel said, Ya Allah, you're going to create this insan. This insan we have seen in Lawh al-Mahfuz, they do nothing but shed blood. They cause mischief and corruption in the earth. So Allah Ta'ala wanted to prove to the malaika that despite the fact that this human being has got such a great enemy within himself, this nafs of his, and then he's got shaitan, but yet he is able to achieve a status and a state even higher than you. Even higher than the malaika. Because the malaika, they do not have any evil desires. There's no shaitan to cause the malaika to go astray. The malaika have been created for nothing but the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they can't do anything else. لَا يَعْسُونَ اللَّهَ مَا أَمَرَهُمْ. They never ever disobey any command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So alhamdulillah, they're great makhluk. But there's no real kamal in that. If a 98-year-old person, that he says, his one foot is in the grave, the other one is on the banana tree. And he says, I know my gaze, I've got no desire for the opposite gender. So with his brother, mashallah, excellent, very good. But we know this, Bishara, he can't even pick up the walking stick properly, how is it, you know? So the thing is, in the same way, if a youngster now, that person who's got the vitality, he's got the energy, he's got everything. And now he says that, alhamdulillah, the help of Allah, that I am lowering my gaze. That is really remarkable. One youngster recently contacted us. I just attended his institute. And unfortunately, it's becoming so common that the parents send their children to these kind of institutes. So he says, now, Mona, we are in the classroom, and it's only boys in the classroom. It's supposed to be a Muslim institute. These are big boys, they are valid, they are mature. And unfortunately, the teacher was teaching us the female. So now what's the point then? The objective of having the boys separate was supposed to be that the boys are separate. So they don't need to make parda from the female teacher. So now he says that it's so challenging because we are in the classroom and sometimes we need to ask a certain question. And I didn't want to go to that institute, my parents were insistent because they want me to get this degree and that degree and again do this and do that. But it's so challenging, alhamdulillah, he's got that fikr. But it's so challenging now for that youngster, this woman is in front and he's trying to lower his gaze. And unfortunately it's a lesson and sometimes he needs to ask a question. Sometimes he doesn't understand something, and that woman is standing in front, the teacher, female teacher is standing in front and teaching the lesson. So it's challenging, and yet this person is trying to make an effort to lower his gaze. So this is something which is admirable, it is remarkable, and if he is able to accomplish it, Allah Ta'ala becomes extremely pleased with this person. That the invitation is all there, it is so conducive for him to commit sins, but yet he is restraining himself. This person becomes beloved in the eye of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So therefore, we as parents also, we should ensure that we expose our children to conducive environments. Sometimes we say, for the sake of these extra, you know, degrees, for his certificate, for his certificate, for his certificate, for his certificate, for his certificates. So we have to understand, we have to prioritize what is more important in my child's life. Is my child's iman, is the fact that my child obeys Allah Ta'ala, is that more important for the certificate? So we need to understand that. There are other ways of doing these things. Doing these things, a person can find some other route and get that certificate without disobeying Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. But nevertheless, that is another topic. But that is also a sign of the person's heart being pure. One of the tafsirs of Qalbi Sareem is that Alladhi yurshidu banihi ila al-haq. The person whose heart is clean and pure, one of the signs is that he makes an effort to expose his children towards the correct environments. He directs them in the correct line, exposes them in the right environment. This is a sign that the person's heart is pure. He's got fikr, that my children, they must be exposed to the right environments, and he makes intizam and arrangement for their proper upbringing. Allah Ta'ala grant all the tawfiq. Of course, it doesn't mean that if he made the effort to do everything right, then the child will not go astray. Hidayat is in the hands of Allah Subhanahu Wa Taala. Sometimes the person can expose his child to the best of environments. The child can grow up in the lap of the Ahlullah, but yet the child can turn out to become a disbeliever. His son. Now, can anyone say this is the son of a Nabi? But yet he died on the Kufra. He disbelieved, he disobeyed Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Look at the wives of Lut and Nuh alayhi salam, both of them as well. Didn't accept Iman, and in fact started assisting and seeing and aiding those who were disobeying Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. So we have to make the effort. But if the person doesn't make the effort and then says, you know, things are very bad, the environment is very bad, and he just leaves everything as is. The person parks his car in a very dangerous area and he doesn't even lock it. So when it gets stolen, he says, no, the crime is very high. What can we do? Crime is high. So crime is high, but why did you park your vehicle in such a dangerous place, and why didn't you even lock your vehicle? You should make sure first you park your vehicle in a safe place, and then you lock your vehicle. We have to adopt the means and then trust in Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. One person came to Hazrat Shaykh Khadriya, that he doesn't make dua. Allah Ta'ala blesses his little children. After one year again, he said, I have to make dua. Allah Ta'ala blesses his children. He said, yeah, make him dua. Came again, doesn't make dua, blesses him. He said, tell me, are you married? He said, no, I'm not married. When you watch children, you're married. So first make nikah and get married. Then after that, inshallah, we can make dua for children. First adopt the means. So in other words, we have to adopt the means, then you make dua. Person didn't adopt the means and then he's making dua for this and that. It's not going to come. Allah Ta'ala is going to make this world a world of means. So nevertheless, Jalaluddin Rumi Rahmatullah says that snake catcher. Now, when the rays of the sun started shining on it, then life came back in and that person ran for his life. In the same way, this nafs of ours, the month of Ramadan, alhamdulillah, Allah has made it possible for it to get under control. Now that we've got it under control, we're making that tawbah, we're making that istighfar, we're purifying our hearts. We have to be conscious of the fact that this nafs has not been killed. It's always going to be there. And therefore we never ever should trust our own inner selves. It's waiting for that opportunity. But in the month of Ramadan, we can continuously strengthen our bond with Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Strengthen our link with Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Ensure that within ourselves we become drenched in these rains of Rahmah. Now how can a person become drenched in the rains of Rahmah? Very simple thing, respected elders and brothers. It's in the month of Ramadan, give up all sins. Even if we're not waking up for tahajjud, although it's so easy, but let's say for argument's sake, the person didn't read tahajjud namaz. He just woke up in time for sehri, he ate his sehri, he went back to sleep, or he quickly went and read his fajr namaz, and he went back to sleep. He didn't make any zikrullah, hardly any tilawat of Quran Sharif. It's not the ideal. But We're just giving a worst case scenario. Right. He performed all his faraid, fasted in the month of Ramadan, but he didn't commit any sin. In the sense that he didn't use his eyes in a haram way, he didn't use his tongue in a haram way. All day he slept. That person, alhamdulillah, he will start benefiting from that fast, in the sense that the rays of Allah Ta'ala's rahmat, will be focused on that person. On the contrary, another person, mashallah, tahajjud, he woke up, made a lot of dua also, but during the day he still continued with the same, sins in his workplace, looking at and eyeing all the staff and all the customers that were coming in, the female customers, and admiring them, just making the riba that he was making. With regards to Ghiba, it is mentioned in Madinatul Munawwarah during the time of Nabi Kareem Sassim, there were two women who became very, very ill. And then they began to vomit. After they started vomiting, or rather they became very ill, and it was mentioned to Rasulullah. So Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam immediately made some dua and they began to vomit. When they vomited, they were fresh. They were fresh pieces of flesh, that actually came up. Upon inquiry, the Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, "You see, like this woman fasted, during the month, fasted during the day, but they didn't fast from ghibat. In other words, now, because Allah says in the Quran Sharif." أَيُحِبُّ أَحَدُكُمْ أَنْ يَأْكُلَ لَحْمَ أَخِيهِ مَيْتًا فَكَرِهْتُمُ. That ghibat is akin to devouring the flesh of one's dead brother. So we should be extremely cautious with regards to ghibat. And what is the definition of ghibat? ذِكْرُكَ أَخَاكَ بِمَا يَكْرَهُ. To mention something with regards to your brother or your sister, something that if they hear about it, they'll become upset and displeased. This is ghibat. You have to mention it to the person directly, they hear what you said, they become sad, they become upset. That is riba. Of course, if it is in the light of Islam, let's say for example, you have a classroom situation, and one student is doing something incorrect. And now the other student, goes to the ustad and says, "Sheikh, ustad, such and such student is doing this here. We need to do something about it." That will not be regarded as riba. That is with the intention of making islah of that person. The person knows that someone is about to commit a murder, so he goes to the police officer and says, "You know, so and so person said that he's going to do X, Y, Z." That will not be riba. In fact, if he doesn't mention it, then that will be a sin. That is not riba. Or if we know that someone is going to cause some kind of corruption and mischief, so in that case we inform, we mention about it. Or we know that a certain murid is engaged in a certain sin, and then you mention it to the sheikh, so that he can help that person. So that will not be riba. But yeah, when we just have a chat and everybody has a nice enjoyment, you know what this one is doing, and you know how bad he is, and how this one is doing. So then you have to be extremely cautious. It is a sin which unfortunately we all seem to be getting involved in, whether it's the ulama, whether it's the muftis, whether it's the qaris, the haji sahab, the person who is in going out in tabligh, the person who is in the company of the... It's a guna which is so easy to commit. But now a person to commit zina in the month of Ramadan is hard. Or the person to go to the cinemas, discos, theatres with this clothing that he's wearing is very difficult. But to commit the sin of ghiba, that is very easy. You don't even have to do anything. Just sit one place and we just talk. And whilst talking, we speak about someone else in their absence. If they had to hear it, they would become upset. Sahaba ibn Abi said, "Ya Rasulullah, but what if that bad quality is in the person?" So Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, "Well, that is riba. And if that bad quality is not in the person, then that's slander. You are mentioning something about someone else in his absence that doesn't even exist in that. You are slandering that person. That is worse than him. Nabi Kareem Sassim said, "Al-ghibatu ashaddu min al-zina." Ghiba is more severe than even zina in the eye of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So therefore, in this month of Ramadan, all kinds of sins, whether wahira al-ithmi wa baqina, Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran Sharif, stay away from the External sins and the internal sins. External sins would be, for example, the person steals, or the person hits someone, or injures someone, or the person uses his tongue to abuse someone. That's the external sin. The internal sins is, for example, we have malice in our hearts, jealousy, pride, hatred. All these are inner sins within the hearts. We should try and abstain from all these sins. So in the month of Ramadan, if we make an effort to cut out sins from our lives, so that person now, he woke up at the tahajjud, but in his workplace he still committed those same sins. He's still not being honest in his workplace. He's still being so harsh to his customers or to his employees. So unfortunately, that person, despite the fast and despite the tahajjud and despite the tilawat of the Quran Sharif, unfortunately, he still hasn't drenched himself in those rays of rahmah. A beautiful example of Hazrat Bala Shafi Muhammad Akhtar Sahib Rahmatullah, he once in his family, who was a Shah Rahul Haqsa, one of the Arabian countries. So it was extremely hot in the car. So Shah Rahul Haqsa said, why don't you put the AC, the air conditioner on? So the driver said, the air conditioner is on, but just see, maybe somebody's window is open. So Hazrat Wala says, the reality was that my window was a little bit open. So quickly I closed my window. As soon as I closed the window, now the car started getting cool. So Shah Abdul Haqsa Rahmatullahi was a person who always gave examples. So he says, we have a very big lesson we learned from this. And what's the lesson? Is that you see the air conditioner was working. It was giving cool air. But the window of sins was open. The window of heat was open. So the sun and the heat from outside was coming inside the car. The aircon was working. But we weren't feeling and experiencing the coolness of the air. He says, in the same way, we do good deeds. Now, in contextualizing, in the month of Ramadan, we are fasting. We are coming for Taraweeh. We are making tilawat of Quran Sharif. We are making dhikr Allah. We are attending these programs. That air conditioner of Amal Saliha is full blast. It's working. But unfortunately, we are not closing the window of sins to our eyes. We are not closing the window of sins to our ears. We are not closing the window of sins to our mouths. We are not closing the window of sins to our hearts and to our minds. We are not closing the window of sins to our hands and feet. So unfortunately, we are not going to experience true tranquility and serenity and contentment in this month of Ramadan. All we need to do is just make that little himmat and get rid of those sins. Once and for all, it's an ideal opportunity. We should make a firm resolution. For example, the person has got a television in his home. Now he make kafan indefinitely. He put that cloth on top of it. He said, now Ramadan, tilawat, you not. So now you make kafan, not make janaza of it one day. Just buy it, get rid of it. Finish. You're going to put that cloth on, that means your intention is that after Ramadan, you're going to go back to it. So that kind of a tawbah is not really sincere. Sincere tawbah means that the person makes a firm resolution not to go back to that sin ever again. And once that at the time of tawbah, that must be the firm resolution. Then after that, if the person still goes into it, that tawbah will not be broken. But the main thing is that when you're making the tawbah, that resolution, it must be firm, definite. Even though the person slips 100 times afterwards, no problem. The tawbah will be accepted. Allah is very merciful. Even you break the tawbah 100 times, but when you're making the tawbah, you were sincere. Ya Allah, I don't want to go back. I hate this sin. It's spoiling my life. I don't want to go back. After that, the person still went back, slipped and fell, weak person. That's why we can never look down upon any person. Because no matter how far that person may be and how despicable the sin may be, we don't know how many times he's making tawbah sincere. And then he's slipping again. He's making tawbah sincerely. And he's slipping again. Are we looking down upon that person in the meantime? Allah is accepting it every time. That is his test. So we should never look down upon any person. But tawbah, true tawbah, is that you make a firm resolution not to commit that sin ever. So in this month of Ramadan, all effort needs to be made towards abstention from sins. Any kind of sin, this is the most important thing. Our tilawat is in its place, mashallah. It is the month of the Quran Sharif. Our zikrullah in its place. Our tahajjud in its place. But more important respect that has ended that all of that is giving up sins during the month of Ramadan. This is the greatest effort that needs to be made. Even if the person does not wake up for tahajjud, even if the person does not make so much tilawat of Quran Sharif, but he is able to give up sins, then this person really has achieved. The true objective of the month of Ramadan, Allah Ta'ala says, what is the month of Ramadan for? لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. So that you can develop this quality of Allah consciousness. That you are aware that Allah is watching you. And that awareness now prevents you. It becomes a preventative measure to give up sin, therefore. Then you have really achieved the objective of the month of Ramadan. The month of Ramadan, Allah Ta'ala didn't say that I said the month of Ramadan for Taraweeh. Or the purpose of the month of Ramadan is Ramadan is tilawat of Quran Sharif. Or the purpose of the month of Ramadan is so that you sit in i'tikaf. All those things are a means to achieve that taqwa. So if we are getting those means, but we are not getting the taqwa, then unfortunately we have not really achieved what we should be achieving. I'll give an example in the Jidimur after Fajr. The person now was traveling on the highway and got a puncture. So now somehow or the other he managed to drive till he came to a spare shop. So now when he came to the spare shop, the reason he came to the spare shop is so that he can fix up the puncture. So now he went there, he said, you know what? I didn't need a spark plugs. So he buys spark plugs. I need a new wiper also, so he buys the wipers. And he carries on buying all different parts for the vehicle. Comes with the shopping basket out, jumps back in the car, and now starts driving. But he forgets to fix up the puncture. So we say, brother, you know, very good, you got all those things. But until you don't fix up this puncture, you're not going to be able to travel properly. And eventually the room will get damaged, and you'll get stuck. Even if you didn't buy everything else, but you got the tire fixed up, then you really achieve. In our life, as the months of the year go by, we get weaker and weaker in our taqwa. That tire of taqwa starts getting flat. Slowly but surely. People like us, by the time we reach Ramadan, the whole tire is destroyed. Finished. You know, tire is completely destroyed. Now the month of Ramadan came so that we can change this tire of taqwa in our lives. We can repay it. The tilawat of Quran Sharif, all of those things are so that we can get this taqwa. Now if we don't get this spare wheel of taqwa or the tire of taqwa in our lives repaired, unfortunately, in the remaining months of the year, we are not going to be able to run smoothly. Now the taqwa is destroyed, the other person will get stuck here. As soon as one fraudulent deal or one, you know, deal comes in front, a lucrative deal where you can make some good money by deceiving people, now the taqwa is flat, there's no taqwa left, now he falls and gets stuck. And destroys himself in the process. So we make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants us all the tawfiq to develop this quality of taqwa in our lives. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala causes us to be drenched in the rains of rahmah. And like we mentioned, that when this rahmah comes into our lives, in the introduction we mentioned, that when rahmah comes into our lives, then subhanAllah, it becomes so easy to save you from, easy to save you from sins and gunah. When this rahmat comes into our lives, then to make our islah becomes also easy. And how do we get this rahmat? Staying away from sins. Staying away from the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the easy way of getting the rahmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One dua of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma rahamni fi bitarkil ma'asi. Allah have mercy and rahmat upon me. And the rahmat will be such that it will give me the tawfiq to stay away from sins. وَلَا تُشْقِنِي بِمَعْسِيَةِ And Allah, do not make me wretched and unfortunate by disobeying your commands. لا إله إلا الله ناشد الله سبحانه وتعالى. There is no barrier. Therefore, when we're reciting this kalima, we should ponder and contemplate that our kalima is going directly to the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And from there, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's rahmah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's love is being focused on our hearts. When we say la ilaha, we remove everything besides Allah from our hearts, and when we say illallah, bring Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the arsh. Recite the shaykh.
Ya Allah, it is your great
Mercy upon us, Ya Allah. Mm-hmm. It is your favor upon us, Ya Allah, mm-hmm. that you have accepted us and given us life in this auspicious and this great Mubarak month of Ramadan, Ya Allah. Mm-hmm. Oh Allah, we are making dua that, Ya Allah, in the month of Rajab already, Ya Allah, we are making dua, Ya Allah, let us eat this Mubarak month of Ramadan. Let us experience this Mubarak month of Ramadan. Mm-hmm. There were so many people, Ya Allah, who also made this dua, but they did not make it, Ya Allah. They passed away before the Mubarak month of Ramadan, Ya Allah. Mm-hmm. Allah, you have given us an opportunity, Ya Allah, to witness this Mubarak month of Ramadan. Mm-hmm. But, oh Allah, we are extremely weak servants of yours, Ya Allah. Am bahut hi kamzor. Ya Allah, we are extremely weak, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, already, Ya Allah, one day of this Mubarak month of Ramadan has passed, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, the second Taraweeh has already passed, Ya Allah. But oh Allah, we still, Ya Allah, have not, Ya Allah, taken advantage of these golden opportunities in this Mubarak month of Ramadan, Ya Allah. Our Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has informed us that his first ten days are days of Rahmat, Ya Allah. But oh Allah, we have, Ya Allah, we remain stubborn on our sins, Ya Allah, even in this Mubarak month of Ramadan, Ya Allah. Because of which, Ya Allah, we are not allowing ourselves to be soaked and drenched in these rains of Rahmat that are pouring, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, we rinse our begging bowls before you, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, we also want to be soaked and drenched in these rains of Rahmat, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, give us the himmat, give us the courage, Ya Allah, to overcome this evil nafs of ours, Ya Allah. Shaitan has been tired, Ya Allah, but nafs is still taking us towards those same sins, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, we have become addicted to these sins, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, we beg you and beseech you, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, take us out from these sins, Ya Allah. Mm-hmm. Oh Allah, remove the attachment of these sins from our hearts, Ya Allah. Mm-hmm. Oh Allah, forgive all our sins, Ya Allah. Mm-hmm. Forgive our major sins, Ya Allah. Our minor sins, Ya Allah. Those sins which we committed knowingly, unknowingly in the light of day, darkness of night, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, how foolish we were, Ya Allah. How ungrateful we were, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you are that being who gave us our sight, Ya Allah. You are that being that gave us our hearing and the faculty of taste, the faculty of sight, the faculty of thinking, Ya Allah. But oh Allah, we use these very faculties for your disobedience, Ya Allah. We use these very faculties to violate your commands, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, how ungrateful we were, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, we are not justifying any sin that we committed, Ya Allah. From the time we became of age, Ya Allah, up till now, whatever sin we committed, Ya Allah, forgive us, Ya Allah. Forgive us, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, it is not difficult for you to forgive us, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, in the month of Ramadan, you are waiting to forgive your servants, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, we are raising our begging bowls before you, Ya Allah. Completely, completely purify us of all sins, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, forgive those sins which you committed in the light of the darkness of night, Ya Allah. There is no such thing as darkness for you, Ya Allah. Even if there is a tiny little black ant under a dark rock, Ya Allah, in the darkness of nights, Ya Allah, you are aware of the movement of that ant, Ya Allah. How could you not have been aware of those dark sins that you were committing in the darkness of the night, Ya Allah? You saw everything, Ya Allah. You heard everything, Ya Allah. You knew everything, Ya Allah. You could have seized us the moment we committed those sins, Ya Allah. Had it been any other Allah, you would have destroyed us a long time ago, Ya Allah. But you are so tolerant, Ya Allah, you give us another opportunity. You've given us another Ramadan, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, let not this Ramadan pass, but that we have been forgiven of all sins, Ya Allah. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, may that person be destroyed who finds the month of Ramadan, yet does not get himself forgiven, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, forgive us, Ya Allah. Forgive us, Ya Allah. Forgive our parents, Ya Allah. Forgive our children, Ya Allah. Forgive our brothers and sisters, Ya Allah. Forgive the entire ummah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Don't deprive a single ummati of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, do not look at our ibadat and our actions, Ya Allah. Look at whose ummah it is, Ya Allah. It is the ummah of your beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Oh Allah, in this Mubarak month of Ramadan, Ya Allah, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how he applied himself. In some riwayat, we hear that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sat for 30 days in itikaf, searching for the night of Qadr, Ya Allah. But how he applied himself during the month of Ramadan, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, What kind of fasting, Ya Allah, may Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam undertook in the month of Ramadan? What kind of tahajjud salam may Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made in the month of Ramadan? What kind of dua he made for his ummah during the month of Ramadan, Ya Allah? Oh Allah, look at those precious tears that my Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam shed for the sake of his ummah, Ya Allah. Revive the ummah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on sirat-e mustaqim, Ya Allah. The ummah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has become intoxicated in the materialism of this world, Ya Allah. Allah, take them out from materialism towards your remembrance and towards your dhikr, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, restore the dignity of the ummah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Oh Allah, purify our hearts in this Mubarak month of Ramadan, Ya Allah. Purify our hearts, Ya Allah. We are spiritually sick, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, we are so spiritually sick, Ya Allah. You are the only one who can, Ya Allah, give cure from spiritual and physical illness, Ya Allah. Those who are physically sick and those who are spiritually sick, Ya Allah, grant them all shifa, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, purify our hearts, Ya Allah. Ami Musaffa, Mujalla, Muzakka de Ata from Ya Allah. Hayati Awliya, Hayati Atqiya, Hayati Asfiya Nasib from Ya Allah. O Allah, make us yours and become ours, Ya Allah.
Amen.
Make us yours and become ours, Ya Allah. Bless us with the beautiful akhlaq of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم والله يا ولوي يا الله all those who have raised their hands before you يا الله يا ولوي all the good desires the aspirations the needs that they require الله fulfill all the good desires and aspirations whatever difficulty pain تكليف financial problems they are going through يا الله You remove it, Ya Allah, بفضلك وجودك وكرمك يا أكرم الأكرمين. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون. وسلام على المرسلين والحمد. Thank you.